Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I wanted to say, I don't think they're here this morning, but I wanted to say thanks to Brother Ed Deloach. Our sign looks wonderful. He put in a lot of hard work getting it that way, and many others helped, but Ed stayed with them, and man, I'm so glad that Brother Ed is a part of this church. He's a very hard worker when it comes to things like that. Now don't miss, There Stands a Cross, March 23rd, at Saturday, at 7 p.m., you come, you support our church, and bring someone with you Saturday night. Just come and enjoy. We got a choir, and they can really sing, and I enjoy, and I want you to come and enjoy it. And then, Sunday morning, we have regular service, just like we always do. At 3 o'clock in the evening, they're going to do it again. Come again. You might miss something the first time. Listen to that beautiful musical again. Bring someone with you. Enjoy it. And then we will have service that night, right? As far as I know. Somebody said, are we going to have it? And I said, I'm going to be here. So you come on. At 6 o'clock, we'll enjoy service again. Just a full weekend of praising God. Warming up for that Easter day. The next weekend is going to be a great one. We're going to have a 7:30 service here. And Brother Richard will be preaching at, you just found out, didn't you? You'll be preaching at 7:30. He can't turn me down in front of everybody, see? Then we're going to have Sunday school, regular time. You can just stay and go to Sunday school and enjoy that. You who don't have church till 10 o'clock, you can come and just go out and eat breakfast somewhere and then come back at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord on Easter. Have the Lord's Supper also that morning. It's going to be a full day. And then service that night again. So let's come and participate in those things. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened or like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today. God, that you just allowed us to be here and enjoy the music and lift up our voices in praise to you. And now, Lord, we want to lift up our hearts that you might open the eyes of our understanding, that we might be enlightened this morning to the Word of God. And, Lord, let the Holy Spirit reveal to our hearts our life through these passages of Scriptures this morning. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I love telling stories to my grandkids. I enjoy my grandkids. I was just telling Jaylee and Ambry one night we were going to bed, and I was telling them a bedtime story, and I started out with one that my grandmother told me. And my grandmother, man, she loved the scary stories, and she put a lot in it. I never will forget, I was down at the spring lot. Spring was down below the hill there at my grandmother's house, and my granddad took us grandchildren down there, and we were going to have a fire and marshmallow and weenie roast around the fire that night, and then we're going to camp out down there. And you can see the house up on the hill, one too far from the house, but it was a trail and kind of trees on both sides. Well, he was telling us a story, and he was a ghost story. And my grandmother put on a white sheet with a white hood over it, and she come down that hill, and she was making awful noises, you know, and floating. And, of course, I wasn't too scared. Just a little bit, maybe. But my granddad, he said, "Now, Janie," that was her name, hollered up on that hill, "quit doing that. You're scaring these kids." She just kept on coming down that hill, making weird noises. And he said, "Janie, I told you, quit doing that. You're scaring these kids." She just kept on coming. He looked up there and said, "Janie, if that is you, quit doing that." Oh, I think he was scared. But we laughed about that. We had a good time. I was telling Jaylee and Ambry a story the other night about the three pigs, and I got to the huff and puff and blow your house down, and Jaylee said, "Papa, stop right there. Don't tell the scary part." So I stopped. I didn't want to scare them, but I love telling those stories and putting a lot of emphasis on the scary things, and, you know, that's a good time. We enjoy that. Well, here in the passage of Scripture, the Lord is telling a story here. He's telling a story about two houses. Now, I want you to notice something. The difference was not the brick. The difference was not, as the three pigs, the stones or the sticks or the straw house. That was not the difference in these two houses. Nor in the appearance of the houses. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The difference was not in the architect of the house. But in Jesus' day, the houses were probably all made about the same, out of stone. He says the difference had to do with the foundation. The difference was where they were built. And I want you to think about that this morning. The difference. Jesus spoke in parables. Parables are simple stories that you can understand. And when he told a parable, he always presented it where people could understand those parables. And when he talked about the two houses being built, he was talking about building our lives, folks. People building lives. And the kind of life they were building depended upon the foundation that they built there. Now, look what it says. The first house was built on a solid foundation. A solid foundation. He says a rock. Not just little rocks, but the bedrock. When you dig down deep enough, you find bedrock where it's solid. It's a solid mass of rock there. And he said, if you want to build a life, you have to build it on a solid foundation. And then he goes on to say that the rains descended and the winds blew. And because they were on the solid rock, they were on that solid, mass, firm foundation, that house would survive the storm. Let me tell you something this morning. That's the way we need to build our lives, on the solid rock, upon Jesus Christ. He is the rock of ages. He's that rock, that foundation. It stood because of the foundation that it had. It stood because of the Christian life. The Bible is our guide. The Bible, when we build our lives upon the Word of God. Now, he also says A life that's built upon the Word of God is a real life. It's not like the hypocrites or the scribes or the Pharisees talked about over in chapter 6. The real Christian life has a solid, firm foundation because guess what? The winds do blow and the storms do come and the rains do fall. They fall on the Christian life as well as the lost person's life. Lost people are not the only ones that have problems, folks. Christians have problems. You know, I was thinking about our life. My life has been full of problems here and there. We've encountered all kinds of things in our life. But as I look back, my life has never fallen apart because Jesus Christ is the center of my life. Jesus Christ is what my life is built upon. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and my foundation is built upon the rock. And I know I have problems in my life. I've been through a lot of storms in my life, but I've never been defeated by those storms simply because of Jesus Christ. His promises are always true. And His church, His members who have built their lives upon Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord is our motivation. You know what? I do what I do because I love God. I do what I do because Jesus Christ motivates me to preach the Word. I don't think I could go through life now knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That song said it beautiful. Living, He justified us. Oh, folks, knowing what we know about Jesus Christ ought to motivate us. Knowing the Word of God and how it ends. I thank God for Brother Jay as he's going to preach on Revelation, man. When you understand Revelation over there and how it ends, that gives me strength. That, I know I have a purpose. And I know that I have a passion to live for Jesus Christ. And the Christian who has built his life on the firm foundation is not going to break down and fall apart. You see, in 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. God says, I've written that you might have power and strength in your life. You see, the Bible, when you build your life upon Jesus Christ, when you build your life upon the firm foundation, the Bible is your guide. It is the principles in which we live by. You know, the Bible tells us right and wrong, doesn't it? Some people say, well, I didn't know what's right and what's wrong. Well, you get into the Bible and you study the Bible and you let the Holy Spirit deal with your life, He's going to show you what's right. He's going to show you what's wrong. I don't have to be told when I sin. The Holy Spirit tells me. I just feel that Holy Spirit guiding my life. And we understand that God is holy. He's a holy God. And He wants us to live our lives holy. He doesn't want Christians to live their lives unholy. He doesn't want Christians to live our lives displeasing Him. He wants us to live holy lives that are godly, that love others, you see. This Bible that we study, this Bible that we learn about here at the church, this Bible is our handbook. When you get a car, you got a little handbook in there thing. And that handbook will tell you all about that car, you see. It'll tell you how to work the ignition. It'll tell you how to work the brakes. Most of you are smart enough to know by now that you push on the brake to stop the car. But it still tells us that. It tells us all about it. Why? It wants you to become familiar with how it operates. Well, the Bible is our guidebook to tell us how we are to operate and make it successfully from the birth to the grave, you see? how to make it to heaven. Now, the second house was built, the Bible says, on a sandy foundation. I'm not very much of a beach person. Last time I went to the beach, got out there and put on a swim trunks, and Eric started saying, "Somebody's going to harpoon you. You look like a beached whale." I am glad I got a great son. But you know what? When I think about building a house on the sand, you know, I never was good at building sandcastles. I just took a bucket, you know, with full of sand, packed it good, and stuck it down there and made a little hump. It's kind of like one of them African villages. That's my sandcastle. But you know what happens? The waves come. The tides roll in, and it washes that away, and in the morning, there's nothing there. Well, Jesus says, if you build on the sand, he is like a man who builds his house there, and guess what? The winds come, and the rains come. You see? And all those things beat upon that house, and that house falls. And I think about the Christian life. When we don't build our life upon Jesus Christ, we get out of the Word of God. Now, I'm talking to Christians this morning. I want you to know there's a lot of Christians this morning that are building their lives upon the sand. Instead of Jesus Christ, they don't study the Word of God. There's a bunch of you in here right now. Be honest with yourself. You haven't picked up the Bible this week just about to bring it to Wednesday night, maybe. Or Sunday morning. Amen or oh me. Yeah. I know I'm meddling now. But you know what you built? You built a weak house. You built a weak life. And the winds of Satan's temptations blow upon your life. They come, don't they? Old Satan tempts us, and guess what? We fall, don't we? Because why? Our lives are not built upon the Word of God. We're weak. We built around us sandcastles. And the floods of the world's troubles come pouring in. And instead of understanding how to handle those, our lives just fall apart. We can't operate. We can't function. I was telling one of our members the other day, I have some relatives. They're dead and gone now. But they built their lives upon the sand. They built their lives upon the sand. Their children. One of them went to the insane asylum. In Rusk, was put there because they couldn't handle the pressures of life. They didn't build their life upon Jesus Christ. And the floods came of troubles. One of them was very smart young man. Back when the Vietnam War was going and we were all getting our draft cards and numbers, he got one. He lost his mind. He didn't turn to Christ. He just sat there in a chair and rocked for the rest of his life. Never could get over that pressure. Why? Simply because they had built their life on the things of the world. And when the troubles of the world came, and the reign of the lust of the flesh and desires come, we fall, don't we? We fall. There's been many a pastor, there's been many a church member that have fallen because of the lust of the flesh or the floods of temptations. And then we know a lot of people, folks, they build their lives upon any kind of doctrine that the world throws out there. And the storms of false doctrine are all around us. Man, I tell you what, I've told many a person, if you go, I ain't criticizing, I don't want to criticize, but you go to a non-denominational church, you know, where they say, oh, we don't have a denomination, we just want to be there for anybody and everybody. What kind of doctrine are you teaching? What kind of doctrine do you believe? You see, there's a lot of false teachings out there, and that's what the Bible warns us about. Beware of those false prophets. Men, you know, you've got to know what you believe. You've got to know what you understand. I want to know what I believe. I want to know about baptism. I want to know about the Lord's Supper. I want to know about the virgin birth. I want to build my foundation solid on the Word of God, not just anybody's word. You know, I don't understand how we lose our salvation one day and get it back the next, and we get back the next time and lose it again. Man, we're always fretting about that. I want to know that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it was God who did the saving. It was God who did the holding on. I don't have to hold on to Him. He's got me in the center of His hand. I don't want to know that, oh, I slipped and fell and now I'm lost again. You see, you've got to know that. You've got to build your life upon something. And I, you know, every time I get mad and want to quit, I don't. Why? Because that's not the way God does things in your life. You see, we have people that will run here and join this church and run here and join that church and run over here and join this church, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. And I think, Lord, they haven't grown. You see, they haven't grown. They are building their lives upon the sand. And you know what happens? You run and jump and you run and jump and you keep running and jumping. And you're dragging your kids all over everywhere trying to find something that pleases you. Those kids are out of church more than they are in church. And when they grow up, they're not going to have a firm foundation. You see? Is that the way you build your life? The Bible says if you build your life upon the sand, just temporary things. I like the King James Version. It says, and great is their fall. Great is their fall. Destruction is inevitable in that life. It's going to be destroyed. The ruin is irrevocable. Let me tell you something. I know families right now that used to go to church. Boy, they were faithful. But, oh, our kids are no longer in the youth program no more, so we decided to stay home. Where are you coming for your kids being in the youth program? Let me tell you where their grandkids are now. Their grandkids are in a lost world, living a lost life with lost parents. One generation will be gone. One generation and those kids will be in a devil's hell because our kids are gone now. So there's no use to us coming anymore. What? You didn't grow. You didn't build your life upon Jesus Christ. It's not my kids that I'm worried about. It's my kids and my grandkids and my family and me, the whole bunch, and the ones to come. I said at a service the other day, did a service, and I said, the greatest inheritance that you can leave your children is a godly home. Man, it'll last for all eternity. In this house that builds on the sand reminds me of those who are constantly building their lives on the secular instead of the spiritual. Amen. Folks, they are found in church on Sunday and found in the club on Monday. And that's not a way God wants us to build our life. Their Christianity is nothing more than professing, and it doesn't have a practice. You see, you've got to do. Look at what he says. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, they live for only what they want. They live for only their pleasure. And let me tell you, the church is filled with both kinds. Right here this morning, there's people who are building their lives upon the rock. They're in the Word of God. They're studying the Word of God. Man, they're pouring their life into God. They 100% surrendered to God. I'm not saying they're perfect, because none of us are. But they're doing what they The Lord says, do. They've heard the word when he says, I want you to surrender your life to me. We got news the other day that our boy had been accepted for career missionary. Man, Rhonda and I was tickled to death. Rhonda said, you know, I'd rather him be over there for 30 years doing what God has led him to do than us having him here in our church on Sunday morning not doing what God wanted him to do. You see, years ago, Rhonda and I prayed and said, Lord, take our children and you use them for whatever you want them to be. And we released them. We released them to God. And I'm so glad that he's there doing what he loves because he's happy at that. Somebody said this morning, you mean they're going to stay another 6 years? I said, no, just three, and then they'll be home 6 months. Then they'll go back for three more years. And same old thing over and over. But you know what? If he's happy and he's serving God, let him go. That's why your kids were given to you to raise them and teach them about God and to train them up in the way they should go. But if you don't let them go, they're not going to be happy. And you're not going to be happy. Oh, I'm glad I got one with me now. He's a joy to our life, him and his family. We love him. Somebody had said the other day, how's it going living all together now in the house? They're in with us now. I said, it's going well. Oh, it's, you know, they have to adjust to me and Rhonda too. Eh? But you know, I wouldn't have it any other way at this time in our lives. Because that's what God says, do. Build your house upon the rock. Now, let me ask you a question. Which are you building today? Are you building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you building your house upon the sand? Which are you building? He says there's two houses. You're one or the other. There's no in between. But look on a little further, verse 24. There's also two hearers. I really never paid much attention to this until I got to thinking about it. There's two hearers. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Verse 26 says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Not only does Jesus say they're two houses being built, he says there's two hearers here. And if you look closely, we find your hearing relates to the foundation of the house. You ever notice that? Now, two times, Jesus says, these sayings of mine. And he's referring to all that he just spoke over in the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, man, you go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. It's a beautiful thing to read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger. And he preaches a beautiful message on that. He says there's two hearers here. One hearer, he hears the word of God and does what? Obeys the word of God. One hearer hears the word of God and he doesn't obey the word of God. The hearer that hears, guess what? He hears the word of God and he obeys it without hesitation. I think of old Abraham when God said, Abraham, go from the Ur of the Chaldees to where I'll show you. The Bible says he got up and left. And if you go back, I'm just going to read these to you. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? They shall be filled. One who hears the word of God and hungers and thirsts after the word of God, their life will be filled with the things of God. Matthew 5:16. Look at that one. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. One who builds his life upon the solid foundation gives glory to God. He glorifies God. Matthew 5:24. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. The one who builds his life upon solid rock is going to be right with his brother. You know, you're not going to be squabbling with each other in church. You're going to get that right. You're going to settle the issue. 5:37, look at that. But lest your yes be yes and your no be no for everyone or whatever is more than these is from the evil one. He's saying here, be dependable. Let your word be your bond. You see? Matthew 4:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Uh-oh. The Bible says if you're going to build upon Jesus Christ, you've got to love your enemies. Not only that, you're going to pray for your enemies, aren't you? Matthew 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray. And he teaches us how to pray there. Gives us a way to pray. One who hears and does the word of God, I believe, develops a strong prayer life. It's just part of your makeup. 6:20. I love this one. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. One who hears and obeys the word of God, oh, puts his pleasures in the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. Where are you building your treasure today? Where is it? Are you hearing and obeying? You see, there's more than words in the word of God. Sometimes we hear and we don't obey, do we? We say, man, that preacher preached a good message. I'm glad that people there needed it, like he was the only one that didn't. What Jesus says will be more than just hearing the words. It'll be obeying the truths in which the words are spoken. Now, one listens and he doesn't obey. Look at Matthew 7:26. Matthew 7:26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Notice one heard the saying. There was no difference in the sayings, only the hearers. They heard the same thing. But one obeyed and the one did not obey what they heard. And the church member, I believe, who hears the word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and treats it as nothing but a sermon, is a foolish man, the Bible says. This is a member who continues to live as he wants to. You see, God gives us freedom. God gives us liberty. I am free in Christ. Galatians talks about that. We're free in Christ. But listen, I can do anything I want to. Did you know that? But God has changed my want to's. I only want to do what pleases the Father. When I was a child, I didn't always obey dad and mother, but I wanted to please them with my life. I wanted to please them because they loved me. They gave me food. They gave me clothing. They gave me a house. And I felt the love there. I knew that if I had a problem, I could go to Daddy and say, Daddy, I've got a problem. And you know what he would do? He would sit down with me and talk to me about that problem and find a way to correct that problem. God is the same way. God tells us what to do. We ought to want to do it. We ought to be motivated by his love for us. But so many of our church members continue to live just like we want to, and their practicing is no different from the world. But let me tell you something. The Bible says Beware, your sins will find you out. And what you sow, that shall you also reap. And that is a promise from God. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. And if you continue to build your life upon the things of the world, the sand, oh, yeah, we're going to gear up for a big service Easter. A lot of people will only be here on Easter. They come twice a year, Mother's Day and Easter. Christmas is no longer one of the great days at the church because we've turned it to a worldly thing. And they think, well, Christmas is when I get to do something that I want. Instead of giving to God, it's all about us nowadays. And we just take off on that day and do what we want. But no, it's not about us. It's about God. And one who listens and doesn't obey is headed for a great disaster in his life. So we have two houses and two hearers. And then we have two hearts. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house upon a rock. And verse 26, he who hears these words of mine and doesn't obey them, I will liken him unto a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Friends, when we get down to it, it's all a matter of the heart, isn't it? It's all a matter. One has a wise heart, the Bible says, and the other has a foolish heart. Now, I want you to think about this just a moment. Let's see the sensible thing about this. A wise man who built his house on the rock is able to stand. He has a sensible heart. Wise refers to that word sensible. It's the proper thing to do, obeying God, hearing God, because it lays a solid foundation upon your life. Therefore, you have a strong life. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fret. I'm not going to let my life go to pieces. Why? Because my life is crucified, like they said, with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I have to look at the troubles of life that I have. Troubles are just something that draws me closer to God. Troubles sharpen me. You see, it's like hitting a knife against a flint stone. It sharpens it. Yes. Things in life that come our way, God doesn't mean them for harm. He means them to improve our lives and strengthen our lives. I like old Paul. Man, Paul faced everything in the world. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He had all of this. He was had a thorn in the flesh. But God used all of that to sharpen his focus, to build a strong life. And I pray, like Paul, that I can come to the end of my days and say, Lord, I'm ready. I fought that fight. I finished the course. Now comes my crown of righteousness, which you will give me. You see, that's what we do. That's a sensible thing. He is a sensible man. Now, the Bible teaches also that the person who believes and trusts and obeys God will have a home in heaven, eternal life. Now, that's the sensible thing to do, isn't it? It says the foolish man who never accepts Christ will face the same storms and one day die and go to hell. I said the unsensible man that never believes in Jesus Christ will not go to heaven. Now, if you're sensible, where do you want to go? To heaven. I talked to a man one day about the Lord. And you know what he told me? He's all preacher. He said, all my friends are in hell. I won't be there alone. I thought, you're crazy. You're just plumb stupid. you know. You're not supposed to call people stupid. One of the parents told me, don't use that word, preacher. I'm trying to tell my kids not to do that. Okay, I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I don't think that quick. But you know what? That's just thinking. Since my friends are down there, it'll be all right. I was looking at a guy that didn't know what hell was really like. Man, if you know what hell's really like, you're not going to want to go there. You'd have to be crazy this morning if you wanted to spend an eternity in a place called hell. You just read about what the Bible says about hell. And folks, only an unsensible, crazy person would want to go there. But God says, you know, I don't want you to go there. You see? He didn't create hell for you to go there. And a wise, sensible man would say, no, I don't want to go there. I want to spend my life with God. I want to spend my life in heaven. Just read over in chapter 21 of Revelation. It'll tell you what heaven's like. Heaven, a sensible man, built upon the solid foundation, has a life that brings joy to other people, brings happiness to other people, brings a peace about his family and his life. It gives him an abundant satisfaction, no matter what comes your way. Now that would be sensible to me. A senseless heart is in verse 26. It means foolish, or that word I'm not supposed to say. This man makes a senseless decision. He hears and says, I don't want to obey that. I'll do my own thing. You know what? I looked over in the Bible, and who was the wisest man in the Bible? Solomon. He was a wise man. You look over in your Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 17 and 18, chapter 2, the Bible says he tried giving his heart everything it wanted to know wisdom. He perceived that also the madness and folly was a vexation to his spirit. He said, I've tried pleasure, it didn't work. I've tried laughter, it didn't work. I've tried liquor, it didn't work. I tried luxury, it didn't work. He did all of those things, but his life, he says, was empty. All these worldly things. Now, you're talking about the wisest man. Tried all of these things, and he says, all of these things are senseless. They didn't bring any happiness. You see, it's kind of like a man who builds his house upon the sand. He tries all of these things. Then he says, over in Ecclesiastes 12:1, I tried the Lord. I remembered my Creator in the days of my youth. And only God brought him happiness. Only God brought him peace. And he's saying that the only sensible pursuit in life is to serve Jesus, to find the Lord. Give him your life. Now let me ask you one more time and then I'll close. What house are you building on today? Are you a wise or foolish builder? You're just one of the two. You can't be all. You're either building for the Lord, sold out to Him, building upon the rock, or you're building on the sand. And let me tell you something. I know what you're saying. I harp on this. I know. But folks, I only say it because it's what's right. And it's what is required of you. God wants you to give 100% of your life to Him. He owns it all. Everything about you, He owns. That's the way you have to look at it. And I don't understand, and I know He doesn't understand why you won't give Him 100%, because that's a sensible thing to do. But over half of you will not be here tonight. You're building on the sand. And I say that because I love you. I'm not trying to put you down or anything like that. When you get to heaven, Oh, you'll make it. If you're saved, you'll make it. But you're going to stand before God. And he's not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because you haven't run it well. Why can't you come tonight? Why can't you come Wednesday night? What hinders you from running well? Why can't you come and listen to the cross on Saturday? Some of you thought, man, preacher, you're crazy if you don't go through hear the same songs twice. No, I'm not crazy. The Bible says you're the one that's crazy. You see, we ought to do that. It's the sensible thing to do. I'm not doing it because of the choir. Only reason I do it is because of God. It's the sensible thing to do is to serve God with all your heart. Lay those treasures up in heaven. There's nothing at home that will satisfy more than hearing God's message every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. I don't know about you, but I need charged up again. By Wednesday night, I'm kind of dragging. And I get into the Word of God. Hey, I prepare. I get into the Word of God, and it brings new life to me. Now, think about that. Why can't you come? Are you just too busy to give God a little time? If you're too busy to give God a little time, you've got your priorities in the wrong spot. I love you. I want you to grow. I don't want you to get mad at me and go off to another church or go somewhere else, because I know you need to be here under the Word of God. You need to be in your Sunday school under the Word of God. There's no reason our Sunday school shouldn't be running just what's in here this morning. Every one of us ought to come to Bible study. Every one of us ought to come to preaching service. Everyone ought to come to Wednesday night. It's the way it should be in our life. If you would try that for a whole year, I know God would bless you. You know, he'd just knock your socks off with blessings. Somebody said this morning, he said, I've never met a church like this church. This church is different. Now, this is a stranger. This is a stranger. Somebody that doesn't go to church here said, I've never seen a church like that church. That's what the world is saying about this church. I've never seen a church quite like First Baptist Gun Barrel. And you know what I said? Why don't you come? Why don't you come be a part of it? God will bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the house that we're building. And God, I pray that we're building the right kind of house, one that's built upon the solid rock. And God, if we're not, don't let us get mad at your word. Lord, just let us get right with your word and say, okay, that's sensible. That's the thing to do. I will make a commitment to be at your house every time the doors are open. I give you all the praise, God, for it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen.